You don't hear me.
Yeah.
All set, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Feel rich if you all know about that.
Yes.
All right. Good deal, man. I just tell Colin. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Sorry I took 5 minutes off of the break, but let's keep going. So the next next person up is Nikki, Recreation.
Police.
Oh, I'm sorry, police. I'm sorry. How could I forget? It's just because I spent time with him this week already. So go ahead, Mike.
Just a quick update slash let you know what we're kind of working on over at the police department. We're working on a hurricane preparedness plan for all of our guys to let them know whatever case it may be, whatever category it may be, where they're going to be, and some other things of what their duties are.
Yep, Mike, when we do look at that, let's make sure we have some rest times indicated, because I know they're here, particularly for the chief.
Yes, sir.
And for the emergency manager.
Yes, sir. Katie's working on revamping our senior citizen program. It won't be called a senior citizen program anymore, but once we get through that. We've been working on the active shooter plan with Town Hall, and we can work on it with the fire department or public works or whomever else wants it. There's a few things that need to be done to secure the building a little better. The reason why I'm bringing it up is because the budget for possible cameras. I don't want to go into great detail about what we would like to do. There's some cameras that we would like to put up, a couple of things up front of the two main lobby offices. Just trying to get everybody prepared. God forbid it happen. Hopefully it will never happen, but I'd like to also, once we get all of our training done, to have where we can close Town Hall for a couple hours one day at the very end, and train with the staff here so that they're all prepared when they're ready to go and know what to do.
Right.
And then we do have something like that.
I think that's a good idea, Chief.
And they'll also know what we're doing, and hopefully it'll never happen, but we want to be prepared as much as we can. Future equipment that we're going to need. We need one car this year, and cars have gone up drastically by about anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 just this year for one car, just the car itself. That's not counting the equipment and that kind of stuff that goes along with it. Ammo is a big thing for us right now, so we're trying to get all of our ammo up to date for the next 5 years. So hopefully we don't have to worry about that. We'll be able to supply our body cameras. We bought those on the grant about 3 or 4 years ago. They'll be running out of warranty in the next 2 to 3 years. So we're just keeping an eye on those to make sure that they're staying in warranty and staying good working order. So that would be something that we're looking at as well.
You're 100% coverage with body cameras now when someone's on. Is that where you are? Or?
We're 100% on cam, on body cam, yes, sir. We have almost 100% coverage in cars.
Good. If you need something for that, let us know.
Yeah, and that's just a big thing for us now. If you don't have a body, if you don't have a car camera, you definitely have a body camera.
Okay, good.
But everybody pretty much has a body camera. Let's see, radar signs. We do have the one radar sign that stays on K Avenue with Fort Fisher Boulevard. Just looking to see if you guys want to do a couple more of those. They're about $4,000 to $5,000 in that range. And those are the battery operated ones. Those are not the solar powered. The solar powered ones, they stay there year round. And I think they're about almost twice as much as the current one we have. But we just charge up batteries and take them out and put them out and use them. So solar power would be a lot better. My guys, about every 3 or 4 days in the summertime, he's having to go out and change batteries, but it's not that big of an issue.
Well, what are the costs of the batteries?
I don't remember. We just bought an extra set so we could have one charge while the other one's in use. I don't remember. They get kind of pricey. A buddy of mine works for batteries of NC, NC might be able to make those batteries, so we might be able to get a discount there and see, or at least a better price.
Yeah, so, but my opinion, solar would be a better choice, but we'll look at both, I guess.
And that's only if you guys want to do a thing there's a need for it. I know there's a few citizens that like it. The current one we have, we can move around town, we can move it anywhere. So that's why we ended up with that option. A digital message board, we do have one, and they're very expensive. They're about $15,000 for the one that we have. For a bigger one, it's probably closer to $18,000 to $20,000, which we use in a hurricane and other circumstances, COVID. Any message we'd like to get out to the public, I know people do pay for it, and it'd be nice to have more than one, but one will suffice for that if we need to. I know during hurricanes we spend, I want to say we spent roughly about $7,000 on signs. So now it's just during one hurricane. So in the event we have another hurricane, it could pay for half of one or thereabouts. So just something else to look at. Car radios. We have many of 10 radios. We purchased one because we purchased a new car this year. By 2025, we're told that we need to have all of our portables replaced and our car radios. We were shooting for a grant for next year to have about six more car radios bought. So that is an option. It's not a guarantee, but it is an option. We did receive a grant. Well, we received the go-ahead for the grant for our last 5 portable radios. We had not received the money, but we're just waiting on the check. A couple of things that we have replaced recently. All of our portables should be replaced by 2021. We're just waiting on the last 5. Our tasers are new and up to date. We replaced those about 3 or 4 months ago. All of our computers in our cars have been replaced, and all of our firearms have been replaced. So we should be good for the next 10, 15 years on most of that equipment. A couple more things that we are looking to do. The PPE, our gas mask. The current ones we have are about 20 years old. They were given to us by New Hanover County. We're currently in the process of looking for new ones. With COVID, we could use them for rides or any other thing we could use them. We're also looking to go in with the Sheriff's Department. All of the Sheriff's Department, the Sheriff's Association is looking at a civil unrest unit, which the gas mask would work in. If we do that, it'd be several different regions, and there's a potential that we could go somewhere else and assist, so that one person or one agency is not stuck for months dealing with one event. Looking at sending the guys to as much training as possible. With everything that's going on, our training is going through the roof. Well, they're wanting more and more from us, so we're just looking at doing different things and getting all the guys in different types of things. So, that's really about it as far as what we're looking to do. Just like I said, the biggest purchase this year would be a car, which is going up drastically.
Okay. I think there's a couple good ideas on there, Chief, about the exercise and the plan, active shooter plan. Also, making sure that our guys have the equipment they need, which I guess that would include shields, helmets.
And a helmet, vest, and a shield, yes, sir, and the appropriate gas mask for different types of events.
Okay. Okay. Now, did you mention that all the tasers were replaced?
Yes, sir. Every one of our tasers were replaced, all of our MDTs and all of our firearms. Our MDTs were replaced on the grant, so it cost the county.
Okay. Any questions for the police chief? Yes, John.
I have one comment. I noticed this morning that the speed limit now has changed to 25, starting in Alabama on down. And if the police issue, they'll give you tickets and things, but maybe for Mandy and the administration, we should put a note on the website and in the next email blast, just mention it to the residents that it has now officially changed.
Yeah.
Did we get notice, or did they just come out and change it and not tell you?
They just came out and changed it. I got a phone call at the house. Unless you got a
message.
Okay. Yeah, I got a phone call. Hey, the speed limit has been changed. So.
Well, at least one of our citizens told you.
No, it was one of my guys. But
oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. Nice, the state tells us these things. Because they said we had to enforce it, or they didn't want to change it, right?
Which, if you like, we can, my guys here today, they can change the sign. We can get put the sign up for the speed limit. I ain't having to do it right now.
I think right now y'all have this for the filming that's going to happen
that
Thursday,
is,
right?
That's not, those aren't our signs.
Yeah. Oh, those aren't ours? Oh, okay. Then we probably should put ours out and say.
I can have you change that real quick.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, John.
Keep me out of trouble.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Chief Mike.
How's that driving Bolivia for?
Okay, Nikki.
How's that driving now this morning? So.
Thank you. To address those signs, DOT did approve the film request, so those signs went out, I think, late Friday. They were blocking the sidewalk, but that has been addressed, and they've been moved as of this morning, so they should not be blocking the sidewalk anymore. During the break, I passed out the recreation year in review for 2020.
Okay.
Like to say COVID had an impact in recreation is a bit of an understatement. It was definitely a challenging year. It allowed us to get a little creative in how we engage with the public. Prior to mid-March, when everything shut down, we were on pace in that fiscal year to be the busiest and continue our upward trend in our rental facilities as well. I do think that once the mass gathering restrictions and social distancing go away, that we'll be able to bounce back and get back on that pace. The first page is just the classes. We had 16 a week going on at the community center, which is the most we've ever had. We're slowly getting those back. We just started in January. We have 4 yoga classes a week and then some virtual exercise classes for Parkinson's disease. To combat Parkinson's disease, so those are going on there now. Oceanfront Park has a few, as well as Jolene's Park. The rest, the next page and the bottom of the first page are our usual programs that we did or new ones that were created. If they have a strike through, we were involved in planning in some way in that, and then it was canceled or postponed. We still were able to do quite a few things despite COVID and I think just to highlight a few things that we were pretty proud of for the year, the blood drives. We were able to collect 231 units of blood last year, and that allowed us to be recognized through the Red Cross as a premier blood partner with them. And one unit can save up to 3 lives, so that has quite a large impact to the local community. The food drives were super successful. Between the two, in April and December, we're able to gather over $15,000 for the Help Center and 6 truckloads of food. And the Toys for Tots drive as well collected $600 and a truckload of toys for that. Mm-hmm. So our community really stepped up as well to help those who were not in a great situation last year. The last 2 pages are just reviews of some of the revenue generators. Overall, the last chart on the bottom of that third page shows the rental revenue for the Oceanfront Park and Community Center. So we were down, but we still brought in $16,000 in that last fiscal year. And this year is off to a slow start because the Community Center is still basically not rentable for a private rental. Last page has the market revenue, and right now I'd like to add we are keeping 100% of the revenue generated from our markets in-house since the town is now managing that completely. And the online store is has slowed down, but they've changed their format a little, so now that we're back on that schedule, we can start promoting it again and try to take advantage of some sales when they have that. But it's still, since its inception, has brought in $1,200 in revenue, and it's fairly increasing to manage. Some of the projects that we've worked on in the last, over the last year are in the community center, changing the lights in the ballroom and installing and repairing baseboards, small things like that. We're currently working on making the kitchen ADA accessible because the kitchen sink and counters in there are not up to ADA standards. So that's the current project. The boardwalk benches have been ordered and the down payment has been paid, has been sent. The HVAC system at the Ocean Park has been replaced and works well. We've started with the ADA responsibilities coming to the Recreation Department. I've started training on that, and so we'll continue to assess things and look at where we need to come to compliance. One of the biggest complaints that we receive, especially during the summer, is the sand shifting at the ADA crosswalk. So we work with Public Works, and they've been implementing hatter's ramps to extend those ramps so that they will shift with the shifting sand and not be a big drop off at the end of those ramps. And that has been started and finished at least one of the accesses. So something on the radar for the next fiscal year, the town turns 75 in April of 2022, which is in the next fiscal year. So depending on gathering sizes and that, though, we would probably be looking to have a larger celebration like we had for the 70th. So that is something I wanted to put actually on every department's radar because that does impact everyone.
Just block off the whole town and have a fun day or weekend.
Block the bridge.
I support that 100%.
Continue to look at virtual and ways we can engage, and look forward also to getting back to a more normal gathering. Does anyone have a question?
You know, Nikki, we're really humming along on revenue, and COVID has slowed us down, but I mean, there's a lot of things here that didn't exist until you created them, so I think that's going to pick up for us. But I don't know if the staff remembers that Nikki took on the ADA role, and you've gotten certification or education?
Well, it's an extensive certification. It's a 40 credit program, so I've started that process. Once you sign up, you have 2 years to complete it and take the exam. So I'm currently working on gaining the credits for that. It's all virtual at the moment. So.
Okay. So it is important that we stay in tune to any ADA activities that she believes are necessary. And I was glad to hear you mention that, what's going on with that.
So are there any other buildings that we feel we have to address in the short term?
I know in the document Nancy provided, there was some stuff at the community center, a few things at Joey's Park, just mostly signage that we need to get, and then there's a few things at the Public Works facility that I'll send you, mostly about the entrance area. If it's open to the public, we might have to tweak a little bit there.
So just the reception area, not in the back?
Yeah, not anywhere that the public has access to, which right now we're closed to the public, so it's not in non-compliance, but it's still closed to the public.
Right.
And I haven't had a chance yet. The more of the classes I take, the more I don't think it is that, you know, there may be some other areas that need further examination. And as soon as, you know, I'm going to start slowly, like going through the other areas of the sidewalks and anything that we provide in the public that would have to be accessible. So.
Okay. We haven't heard anything back on those mats.
Not yet.
No. Okay. The mats on the beach.
I think that's coming in from the CRC. We need you up there, isn't it, John?
I'm not sure if it's on the agenda or not. I haven't seen the agenda yet.
But I think from what Carolina Beach is going through, I think it's on there. Next
meeting. I'll see if it's on the agenda right now.
If it does get approved there, I mean, we have other things to look at with it because where they wanted to place it, the actual slope of the beach there, if you put something hard, you know, hard there and expect a regular hard wheelchair to go down it, it would not be compliant because this slope would be.
Okay, One thing, Nikki, are we, do we have anybody signed up for use on the baseball park this year? Has COVID kind of slammed that too?
The Pleasure Island Youth Baseball, they initially canceled the their last spring, and then right. they resumed in June, so they utilized it in June, and then they are planning to resume again this spring.
Okay.
But like every program that has restarted since COVID, everyone has to provide us with a written plan of how they're going to implement safety precautions related to COVID, and the state has a multi-page document that outlines how they should return, and we, you know, send that to them and ensure that it's within what the state requires as well.
Okay.
Everything since COVID has added multiple layers to any of the things we've been able to resume, mm-hmm. like in the planning side and implementation.
I mean, there are a tremendous amount of activities going on. Some have been curtailed, but they'll be back. So, okay, I don't have any questions for Nikki and her team. I think they've been busy, and I think they offer a lot of opportunity for the locals. Any input, anybody else? Any questions? Well, thank you, Nikki.
Thank you.
Administration, Mandy.
For starters, in your agenda packet, I have the minutes from the council meeting that I need to request for you guys to approve them so that John will have what he needs to take to the meeting.
Yeah, I went through them. I'll sign them when we break.
Okay. I still need a motion.
I make a motion we approve the council meeting minutes from the January 25th, 2021 meeting.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So be it.
Thank you. So for my department, like all the other departments, we were hit with COVID. So that has been meeting after meeting, which all of you have been involved in. And it is pretty much, I mean, taken over everything for us a lot. All of the projects that I have on the books for the year, for this budget year, were stopped until we knew where we stood. And since then, a couple of other things have come up. One thing that Mike mentioned was the cameras for town hall for the active shooter safety. We implemented some new door locks. I need to have those installed. We've had some issues with our AC units. Part of one of those projects with the AC unit was having a zone system installed in the back hallway area, which we put that off. We did do the insulation portion of the duct work because we really didn't have a choice but to get that done. So what's come up in this is working with Mike is the cameras. So I can kind of push maybe some of those other projects to next budget year and start working on that with the police department. Or I can put it in next budget year's budget requests.
Does that also include soundproofing this room?
No.
And what about
that was one of my projects that did not get done.
What about the door to the weight room of the fire station to keep that from being leaking?
We have worked with the glass company and the door company, and we have reached out to them multiple times, and we cannot get back. They will not get back with us. So I think we're going to have to find another vendor.
Let's contact Chris Lumpkins and get him. He's got a good contact with them. They'll answer his call.
Okay. I mean, we've been trying for months. They are also the ones that I want to do the windows for the customer service up front. That's one project I would like to go ahead with that's been on hold. Is getting the customer service windows replaced for a safer option. That was also in my budget. So.
I would prefer to wait on the cameras to next budget year, see what the costs are, and let's not forget about the things we got. And we told you to hold off on those things because of the COVID stuff. So.
Right. So do you guys want me to start moving forward with part of those projects?
Yeah, if it's out there, I'd rather go ahead and move forward with what we have and then add other things at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. If you had in your budget, let's proceed.
Okay. The other thing that you guys had requested from me was a quote on getting an AED system for Town Hall because we don't have one here. And we have a quote for about $1,700 on that, so I will be bringing that for next budget year as well.
Okay.
Another goal that I have for next year is working with the town attorney. We still need to do some updating to our personnel policy. There's some areas in there that need to be adjusted and tweaked. We have gotten the vendors together for background testing, checking, and fit for duty testing for new hires. So I would like to start working with the department heads on that and go ahead and get that process implemented as well.
What does fit for duty mean?
Well, it means can you do the job that your job description tells you to do. So each department, and we can do this by department.
I'm thinking like admin or finance. You know, you're gonna, can you pick up that 50-pound box? Is that what you mean?
It's specified by department.
It's specified in their job description. And we would like to implement duties across the board. I know each department has certain things that they do, and they may not need this specific fit for duty test. But other departments don't have physical tests for their new hires and employees, and this is something that we probably should look into. And so we did. And I would like to work with the department heads on moving forward with adding that into our policy and our processes, along with background checks, if that is still the will of council, which it was last year.
Any particular points on these things? I think you should proceed with your plans.
Okay. I'm going to be working with all the other department heads as well on signage for the smoking and no smoking areas, and trying to get that order up, and so we're in compliance with the county. And let's see, I think that's it. We've been busy with COVID. I have started my municipal and county administration class. I'm about 3/4 of the way done. I think I finished in May with that. It was all switched to virtual learning. So I've been doing that about 4 days a month. And I think that's it. We are busy with you guys a lot, so.
Okay, I mean, we keep you busy with all the administrative stuff going on, so any other feedback for Mandy?
Mandy, we've got a few safety classes we haven't completed, mm-hmm. and then are we set to virtually or anything on the annual training that we set up in our plan?
We need to talk to Amy about that. We had put them off because of COVID and having her come down here, so we can talk to her about a virtual option and see if that's something that she's comfortable doing or if she's comfortable coming here so we can finish. But it is on our radar. Any more questions?
Okay. All right, Mandy, thank you.
Thanks.
Well, we are ahead of schedule, so I believe that we could start the mid-year financial review, Arlen, and break that then for lunch.
Keep going. Are we ready?
Arlen's always ready.
He's always ready, yeah.
Dude, mid-year PowerPoint, huh?
Oh.
I mean, there's a few unique things this year, but maybe we'll spend a couple extra minutes on. But start out with the general fund and just where we stand at this point in relation to the amended budget. We're at about 3.6 million of revenue, which is about 63.5% of the budget. And expenses, we're at about 50% of the budget so far. All of those numbers are very consistent with prior years, those percentages. We did have a number of budget amendments during the course of the year. There were actually seven in the general fund, the largest one being the recent one about the bonus payments to town staff. And a couple other, I think Nick had mentioned the Oceanfront Park HVAC replacement at the pavilion. So in total, those are about $65,000 for all the budget amendments.
Arlen, this is to December, but has the tax office said they have any concerns on property tax shortfalls? Have they mentioned anything at all now that we're here in January?
No.
I know it's a January, February type payment scheme normally, right?
Yeah, and actually that's, I'll move on to that, you know, with more detail on the revenue actually, and I'll start with, you know, property tax, which is at our level. We've actually had a larger percentage of our budgeted property tax revenue come in as of December 31st than any other year. Typically, we'd be at like 68% to 70% of our budget. We have almost 75% that came in through the end of December. And since then, since December 31st, we've had another almost $669,000 come in. So at this point, we've collected almost $3 million, or had property tax receipts of almost $3 million, or about 96.5% of the budget. So in a lot of ways, we're a little bit ahead of where we would normally be at this point in time. So property tax looks, actually, we haven't seen any significant impacts.
Yeah, I think people may have been piling in on a bad tax year, but that's good. No, I think we're good personally. I was just wondering if the tax office said anything. I mean, back in March when we were talking about this and we were, you know, we had stopped rentals for a while and stuff like that, I was worried that some of those properties would be a problem. But they raised their rates after we opened them back up. And while I don't know, because I don't have one, based off the sales tax revenue, I think they had good years. And so I'm not worried about them. I think most of our citizens can pay their property taxes, so I think we're going to be fine. I was just wondering if the county had said anything more general.
I haven't heard any comments. There is a meeting in mid-February, I guess, about the next revaluation.
Projections? Oh, revaluation.
Right. It's that time again.
They make it every 3 or 4 years now? Is that the deal?
I think it's, every year, four or five.
I thought it was 5 years.
It used to be 10.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get more information. I'll let you know after that meeting, but the fact that they're having this now, probably, I believe it will be the next fiscal year, or next calendar year, after they start the process. Sales tax, we're actually, again, I know that was an area of concern when we first were developing the budget. You know, we're actually ahead of last year's pace, and I'll have just a little bit more information kind of comparing December 31st of this year to December 31st of last year for these categories also. So this really is just to show how we are in relation to the budget. There's really no other category. I really don't want to spend much time on anything else. We're really where we would normally be any other year for the different categories. I mean, if you say 50% through the year, I mean, so a lot of our revenues are at that point. Some that are, skewed more to the beginning part of the year, like property taxes are, those numbers also. Does anybody have any questions, specific questions about any of these categories? And the TDA, it's at zero, but we just requested, about $303,000 or $304,000 worth of reimbursement request. This is just the other category that was listed there. That's where you see, this is where some of the things are down a little bit more. I think Nikki commented before, say like facility rentals, we're only at about 9% of what we budgeted. Same with, Parks and Rec and Community Center and those kind of things, we're at about 42% of the revenue. Again, none of them are really significant revenue sources overall. I mean, they're all important, of course. The other thing, parking and civil fines, we see actually is well above budget. Budget that was 2,600, we're already at for the year 8,700. So.
Well, Mike, we say we spent a lot of money to get that, so I don't know that it really helps us out.
So, I don't know if anybody has any questions here. I know everybody thought like ABC store revenue would be up or whatever. It's actually down from where we normally are.
I certainly did my part.
I've done my part.
Yeah. We need more purchases throughout the county. So,
when do we know beer and wine tax input? When do we get that input?
Well, the beer and wine is different. That we get, that's a state tax based on statewide sales. That we get in May.
May.
The ABC revenue was just for the count that revenue that the county shares, the county ABC stores. So that's actually running a little bit behind.
Well, so the restaurants go and buy it there, and we get it from them. So it's the restaurants.
Right. Yeah.
And the beer and wine, I think, is going to be down too. So those are driven more by the restaurants than us trying to help out as much as we could. Right.
And then investment earnings, I mean, we've taken a bigger hit there. In particular, we're very limited what we can invest in. So I've moved some more things to CDs, but even those rates are low. And then the North Carolina Capital Management Trust, which is one of the few things we can invest in. They actually closed one of their funds. And the investment, it's pitiful, basically, what we earn or whatever. But we really have no choice what we can invest in. So this is what I thought might be a little more helpful with some of the revenue categories. And this shows December 31st of 2020 versus December 31st of 2019, the green being 2020. So we can even see, that's where you can see that, what I have on the far right, I'll start with that is the total revenue. So for the general fund, we're actually running at about $168,000 more than we were the year before. But, you know, property taxes, you see, is basically $168,000 ahead of last year's pace. Sales tax is the other, like, surprising thing. That's where we thought we were really going to have a significant revenue reduction. We're actually a little bit ahead, $17,000. And last year was like a record year for us for sales tax. I mean, we had just about $1.2 million in sales tax. And we're on track to surpass that this year by a little bit. So luckily, we did not here in Kira Beach see the impact that they were projecting in regard to sales tax revenues.
How do they do that again? Just in general, sales tax?
Well, there's all different articles, I guess.
Right. Specifically, I guess, the short-term rentals have to pay sales tax and room occupancy tax. How does the sales tax portion of that come back to Curie? Is it managed across the whole state?
The whole state. The first step is across the whole state. Then within the county, you can have it distributed one of two ways per capita, or based on property tax. Ours is based on property tax.
Right.
So then that can adjust every year a little bit, those percentages, if someone raises their tax rate. So.
It's off tax rate, or is it off value? It's off value. It's not off tax rate.
Well, off of value, but ultimately it's driven by the actual tax rate. Because if you increase your tax rate, it changes the percentage. So it's actually your projected tax levy.
Oh wow! So it's not off.
It's not off
value.
It's off
so
the
it's not
projected tax
wow.
levy. So that's why it changes if someone raises their tax rate. There's a little bit of delay. If you raise it effective July 1st, it may not impact your sales tax distribution until August or September.
Wow. Okay.
So the assessed value, though, does have a part to play in that, right? Because it's the value times the percent of the tax.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, they both apply. But.
Right,
yeah. That's interesting. Okay. Thank you.
So, again, you see some of the other categories. Again, we're not off in a lot of things in regard to, you know, thinking about the impact of COVID, I guess, and, you know, comparing this current year 6 months to the last 6 months. There's a couple categories that are down, but most, the significant ones are up. I mean, garbage and recycling is up about 10,000. That's primarily in relation to a change in the recycle rate that we had implemented. You know, building permits is up. So again, we're actually faring pretty well compared to a lot of other towns in regard to the impact of COVID. Anyone have any questions on that? There is a category there called all other revenue. I just have a little more detail on that. And it may look bad, but the category of far to the left, the sales tax refund, but the reason that the prior year was so much higher had to do with the town hall and fire station. So we had significantly more refund requests for the sales tax than any other year. And even this current year is higher than normal because of the water meter project. Mm-hmm. So when we start going forward, unless we have some huge projects that we actually pay sales tax, we're going to see that number come down to the more normal number, which is, you know, maybe, you know, $70,000 to $80,000. Some of the other things, like we talked about, is to, like, you know, Parks and Rec and the facility rentals, they're down from the prior year, ABC store revenue. One thing that's up a little bit is the bluefish sales, you know, so I guess people have decided that's, you know, a good thing to do during these times or whatever is to purchase bluefish. So. And then also the parking and civil fines is up significantly. Anybody have any questions on that? So this just shows 5-year history of the different significant revenue categories. Again, I'm not really going to spend time unless anybody has any specific questions, but I'll just say things like property taxes. There are different points in time where the tax rate was changed or increased. So that's primarily the reason you see the increases each year, and sales tax has just been a steady increase. They extended the sales tax base a couple years ago, and then just the improved economy has resulted in you know, more revenue for us. Most of the other categories are fairly consistent. You have like the all other, I'll just mention there, that really, where we have significant jumps really relates to where we got significant reimbursements for hurricanes. Does anyone have any questions on any of that?
No, I guess not.
Okay, next is the expense. Comparison actual to budget for expenses in the general fund for December 31st. Really nothing to even comment on here that's out of the ordinary. Everybody's kind of where they should be at this point in time. The only one that's maybe down a bit is Parks and Recreation, and that's really because of the lack of, you know, the ability to have certain programs or whatever. So, but other than that, everybody else is pretty much where they should be. Questions on expenses.
And that's even with all the COVID stuff that all the departments have done with PPE and everything. Right?
Yeah, and a lot of those expenditures really fell into last fiscal year. I mean, there have been some since July 1st, but a lot of them were early on,
right,
in,
okay,
like, March, April, May.
And there are definitely some overtime issues in multiple departments when people were out for, I mean, so there's definitely overtime, and then they've been buying hand sanitizer and masks, so good job by all the department heads in controlling costs.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually doing very well. You also had a hurricane in there, too, so.
Yep. Crazy year.
So that, just like with the revenue, there you have a other category at the far right, so I just have a little more information on what that other category is. And even here, you know, things are not really out of the ordinary, except for a comment on tax collection expense. That's the expense that New Hanover County charges us. They're having some system issues, and they haven't billed us since July. So that number will all of a sudden shoot up when they can figure out what to actually charge us. It's not just us. It's, you know, everybody in the county or whatever. So, also legal, I think that legal is why those two categories are, significant. Anybody have any questions on that? Okay, this one's kind of busy or whatever, but it's a, this just shows the 5-year history of expenses. You do see a lot of ups and downs. More look if anybody has any questions, but a lot of the increases and decreases for like police department and streets and sanitation really has to do with the amount of capital expenditures. You know, a comment on police, you know, they shot way up for fiscal year 20. The actual town fuel tank was included in their in their budget, so that's, you know, that was about $130,000 of out of the ordinary expense, I guess, of that in there.
So, Arlen, how do we track that? Now we've been using it for a while. Do we track savings in each department for gas, or we're just letting it play out in the budget?
Well, I have something that I'll show you later. I didn't do it by department, but I have an overall thing that I have, once we get through a lot of other information.
Because gas is starting to go up now, and I assume it's helping us out a little bit.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely see have some positive information when we get to that. So.
Thank you.
But no, again, a lot of information. Some of it, you kind of see every year. It's just updated with the last fiscal year. But I don't know if anyone has any particular questions. If you have a question about why something was up or down in any given year, give some information on that. But any questions anybody may have on that?
Just one thing that I see the police department went from 1.3 to 1.6 basically. Does that include the tank?
Yeah, that.
Okay, so that's a special.
So that was kind of, that added about $130,000 to their budget for fiscal year 20.
Okay.
I think they had a headcount increase that year also.
How many more years of Palin's building? Three?
Paying on this building?
Yeah.
What, 16?
No, we did 15 years, I think. So we
did five. No. I forget that. Never mind. No.
Yeah, we we did 15 years or whatever. So that seemed to fit best in regard to everything, interest rates at that point in time, and also just the burden on the town paying it back to. So.
Sure.
Are there advantages to shopping out the interest rate for our debt service? I mean,
well, we actually, the two highest things that we have right now, I have thought about looking into refinancing. I have to talk with the LGC because they're both loans that they approved, have to do with the, actually both loans at the Oceanfront Park, the actual land acquisition, and then also the actual building, the pavilion, and all of that. Those two loans, I think, are in the 4% range. Everything else we have is, probably 2.5 and less at this point. So I think we have really good rates. They're the only two, and then it's almost what's involved in regard to getting it.
You got to make sure it's worthwhile.
Right. But they are two possibilities that I have been considering. Any other questions on this slide?
Nope.
So, kind of wrapping up the general fund, it's like, okay, what's happened with our fund balance over the last 5 years? And for the most part, it's been a positive experience. We've increased fund balance every year, except for 2018. And that really came about because of having to transfer some additional funds from the general fund to the fire station town hall project fund. But all the other years we've increased fund balance, which is a good thing. We were at a somewhat low point going back a number of years, I think 2011 or so. So we have definitely built the fund balance up where it's a point where if we do have a critical need based on the storm, let's say, that we have to fund a lot of expenditures to improve infrastructure, because we know that it can take a significant amount of time to get your funds back from the roofing, that we have funds to do that. So I think we're at a good level at this point. And again, some of the things you could say, well, why did it increase, you know, almost 600,000 in 2019, 500,000? A lot of it just has to do with things. So we talked about sales tax, for example. You kind of expanded very rapidly with the economy improving. So some things that we were well ahead of what we budgeted, and then also every department had been very very diligent with their expenditures to have, you know, kept things in check. So but one thing, we definitely don't want to see fund balance decrease. That's all, you know. So.
That is... That's good work, department heads. Being frugal is always helpful.
So does anyone have any questions from the general fund?
Nope.
I'm going to move on to the stormwater fund. Here, it looks like our revenue is only a little over 32.5%, and the reason it's at that low of a level is because part of the revenue is actually a very significant loan for a equipment purchase. It's a the back truck that Public Works budgeted for that hasn't occurred, you know, up to this point yet. So that's why it looks like the percentage of revenue was so low. I believe we budgeted about $200,000 for a loan in the stormwater fund, and then also another $200,000 in the water and sewer fund. So. Excluding, you know, that capital expenditure, you know, that whole issue, we're pretty much where we should be in regard to revenue. Expenses are actually down a little bit. We've had some not as significant maintenance costs so far through the first 6 months. Plus, there's been some vacancies in Public Works that have affected the actual operating expenses for this fund, so that they're a little lower than normal.
All right, so just with this one, we approved and signed a contract last week with LESI to get the engineering to Ford Tomatsu. That would be an expense for this fund. And then if that's approved, that'll come out of this. We also have some other stormwater issues that we're still addressing throughout town. The system seems to be doing much better, but there are obviously some concerning places that we still want to make sure we address in the coming year. And as Arlen's pointed out, in the fall, once we identify those and actually have contracts, we need to look at the stormwater fee. He wanted us to address it in the fall, and I encouraged him to push it off. So just be aware, Council, as we work through the budget process, we'll be looking at that fee, and I'm sure Arlen will be coming back to us about stormwater.
I'm actually surprised the actual expenses are only about 97 grand so far, so that's... I just keep thinking of the things that we keep approving, and I thought we were a little ahead of that. That's not bad news by any shape. I was surprised.
And this is as of December 31st. So again, like the contract that David was just talking about, you know, hasn't been paid. We haven't paid anything on it yet, so that's not reflected.
Okay. All right.
Have you ordered to do that?
Not at this point.
We've got three different bids. For three different contractors, but do we not have to put this out to bid?
Yeah, based on the amount, yeah. You know, we're talking about an approximately $400,000 piece of equipment. We have to go through a formal bidding process, so there's a few things that have to be done, I guess, to actually get to that point. But, you know, I guess it's moving forward, and you know, hopefully, you know, in the near future that we can still get done to be included in this fiscal year.
That's the plan. And for council, we've been working with Carolina Beach to borrow a truck, so it hasn't impacted our maintenance. We just worked out with Carolina Beach while we're working through the process, so it hasn't impacted what we're doing out in the town.
So this just shows the detail of the revenue, you know, how we are in relation to budget. So you see, like, the major revenue source, stormwater fees, the monthly fee to property owners. You know, we're right at where we should be, right where we thought we would be at about 50% at this point in time. Stormwater building fees, all dependent on building activity in the permitting process. And then you see at the far right, other financing sources is the loan we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Any questions there? Mm-hmm. like I did with the general fund, I thought, well, let's just look at the stormwater fund too, where we are in relation to the first 6 months of the prior fiscal year. And like stormwater fees, because there was a stormwater fee increase as part of the budget, that's why there's the stormwater fees are about a little over $20,000 higher this year than they were at comparable time last year. Stormwater building fees are actually down a little bit in relation to last year, by about $12,000. And just in total, the stormwater fund is about $8,000 ahead of where we were the same time period last year. Any questions on that? And this just shows the stormwater fund revenue sources over the last 5 years. Again, you know, the main source stormwater fees are relatively consistent. You know, any increases over that 5 year period are really related to additions, new homes being built. So, since there were no rate increases, stormwater building fees again contingent on building activity. Seeing some ups and downs there. Hurricane reimbursements, again, ups and downs there, depending on the year. We will hope for the downs on forward, you know, that we don't have a new storm that we have to deal with.
Yeah. On the stormwater building fees, that's down pretty significantly. What's driving that? I thought we actually had a lot of new starts.
So in areas where there are stormwater permitting, such as the Cove, we do not charge $4,000 stormwater building permit fee.
That's correct. Thank you, John.
That's one big difference in the fees from last year, 2019 compared to 2020. Yeah. Additionally, town council gave the authority to the public works director and myself to waive stormwater fees if they put in an engineered system on a lot by lot basis. So there's been a couple of those done over the years. Last year also.
Yep. I guess when we decided that we would make a building that was two structures separate, we also agreed to do that, right? Last year? This year? We were charging for...
We looked at the wording in the stormwater
right.
fee, and yes, we're charging for both.
For both sides, not just half, for each side.
Yeah.
So, okay. But still the effect is down. All right. Okay.
Any other questions that anybody has on that? So then looking at the stormwater fund expenses through December 31st, operations you see is you know only at just about 23%. Again, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there's been some vacancy. Positions, unfilled positions in public works at points in time, so that's impacted this fund. And then capital outlay, and that's primarily the equipment purchase we talked about, in addition to any miscellaneous projects, so none of that has been incurred at this point in time. Any questions? Okay, and this just shows the 5 year history of stormwater expenses. Again, nothing really out of the ordinary. You do see the significant differences in capital outlay, and in particular in 2017, where there was a lot of work done in the Three Beach Village area and relining stormwater pipes.
Wow. I mean, it is $1.2 million in the last 3 years, so nobody's been asleep. Right, you guys have been busy.
Significant expenditures, and yes, in stormwater, you know, projects.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty significant spending. The guys have been working quite a bit on this.
Well, I hope to see, I understand. You know, when you see water standing around your house, it's concerning. Definitely understand that.
Yeah.
But I would say that with the large rains we've had, to my knowledge, and I look to the building inspector and public works. No properties have been impacted in the last year and a half as far as actually getting water in their property. Am I right or maybe I'm wrong looking to see?
Our semi-professional opinion, yes.
Right. So, or hasn't reported. And public works, both during rainstorms and off rainstorm time, has inspected the systems to make sure that they will operate properly. That's not to say there's not mud puddles in streets and there's not low-lying lots that hold water, because there are, but the systems themselves are not letting out homes be hazard, which is important. We always want to make it better, but you got to pay how perfect you are. And so we'll continue to address the issues and make it better for the citizens.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, anybody who's interested in what the town's doing could see, you know, where that money is being spent, and there is a lot of work going on. It may not be specifically in their particular street, but there is quite a bit going on. Okay.
Then just to wrap up the stormwater fund, is this like I did with the general fund, what's the change in the fund balance? This one shows a little bit different than the general fund, which is a decrease every year. Again, a lot of it was planned with what we wanted. We didn't have to finance some of those significant projects that were done. As I mentioned, the relining the stormwater pipes in Curie Beach Village. So we were able to use fund balance to do that. We do need at this point, though, to definitely look at the trending this in the other direction and starting to add. Since that significant decrease in 2017, we've also, you know, now decreased the last three fiscal years also. So I think we definitely need a plan to start to build this fund up a little bit so that we do have you know, funds available for any capital projects that need to be done. And I know the first step was taken in regard to I think it was about a 15% increase in the stormwater fee as part of this current year budget, so that's definitely a step in the right direction. And then it's going to be evaluating the you know, future projects that need to be done as a result of the stormwater study. So, any questions on the stormwater fund?
Not from me.
I just mentioned Palville. We did talk about this, I think, when Jimmy was talking about street paving, but our revenue is about where we should be at this point in time. Actual expenses, probably not so different than where we normally are at this point in time either. It seems like a lot of the street-related expenditures occur more in the second half of the fiscal year than the first half, at least based on history. So. And I know, you know, Jimmy has a number of projects planned and some other street-related maintenance.
Now, any work that we did out in the parking lot, is that stormwater or is that here?
That is stormwater.
That's in stormwater.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, for the paddle bill, it can only be...
roads.
Right, and only town-owned. So anything that's like a state-owned, we cannot use paddle bill funds if there's any kind of work done on it. That the town pays for in a state-owned road.
How about the lots for the beach access?
No. Also, you can't use these funds for the park.
Can't use that fund for that.
No.
So we use general fund for that.
Yes.
Is that correct? Or grant. If
or
we
grant.
Grants.
Yeah, a
so
grant.
We
well,
combine
I mean,
the grants to pave E and
I. It was E and I, think.
Yeah.
That's right, E and I.
Yeah. And then we pay our percent that's out of the general
right.
fund.
Right.
Okay. All right.
So this just shows the Powell bill revenue in relation to what's been received December 31st in relation to budget. Just again, talk about the Powell bill allocation. It may look good, like, well, we received 118% of our budget, but we had reduced our normal budget by about 20%. So the fact that we got an almost normal distribution for the Powell bill or allocation is a good thing, but the bad side of that is this is also just about $4,000 less than what we normally get. Mm-hmm. So typically we'd be at about $65,000 of Powell bill allocation. We're only at 61, you know, four. And hopefully that's not an ongoing trend. That now that's, you know, because every penny, as we heard, you know, is important with the paving projects we have.
Well, but that falls with the gas tax, right?
No, not anymore. A couple of years ago it got changed. It's not that it does. It's a appropriation of the general, the state general fund is what funds us now. That happened a couple years ago.
So when they got rid of dedicated funding sources,
right?
They appropriated.
Right. And up to this point, the appropriation has pretty much been the same every single year. So that's why we had very little fluctuation. You know, this year, again, we see a bit of a decrease. So hopefully that's not the trend going forward, but, you know, I guess we'll see. And that, this just shows the five-year history of CalGO fund revenue. And again, that's why you see the allocation has been very consistent over the last 5 years. You know, in this current year, it's about, gives us about $4,000 less than normal. This just shows CalGO expenses over the last 5 years. Again, dependent on street-related activities, you know, 2019 would have had, you know, some fairly significant paving projects. And this just shows our PAL bill fund balance. Again, you know, the annual revenue into the fund is primarily the allocation, so it's, you know, only $60,000, $65,000. So our fund does not grow significantly, and then depending on the amount of, you know, street-related maintenance, you know, the nets out, so this is what our fund balance is. So as of the end of fiscal year 20, it was, you know, a little over $255,000.
On that last slide, the PAL bond expenses for 2020, is that 43,955? Is that for that cul-de-sac on Sandman?
I mean, Sandman, and that was a couple cul-de-sacs.
What's the name of that street, Alan? The cul-de-sac.
There's one like Myrtlewood or something, I think. Was that one of them? Myrtlewood? Is that the
right one?
Yeah, Myrtle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Arnold, explain the. We have to use this money within so many years. We have to get an exemption or something.
Yeah, I mean, a year or two ago, I think you have to use. You can't exceed more than the last 10 allocations, or you start to. If you save that, if you go over that, you start to get penalized. So we got an exception. There's a small town exception. We're allowed to accumulate 20 allocations worth, which would be, you know, approximately $650,000 or whatever, without being penalized.
Yeah, which is in our strategy, because spending $60,000 a year doesn't do as much as doing a large project now,
right,
because of the mobilization cost. So you get more paving and street work done if you can do a bigger project, and that's this town strategy all along, is we wait to build it up and then we do large projects. That way you get more bang for your money doing it that way.
So we were at the point where we were going to be penalized.
We were getting ready to be penalized.
Right. So
I know.
From what I understand, we're like the first town to ask for the exception. And so there was some confusion with that, but they approved, you know, ultimately approved it. So,
right.
So we're good now to accumulate up to, you know, about 600 plus thousand, which it doesn't look like that's really going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen based on what we talked about earlier.
Right.
We're going to use all this and probably do some type of loan. I think if council approves that as we work through the budget process.
Well, like I said, this is the PAL bill fund balance at this point, or I should say at the end of 2020. Anybody have any questions on PAL bill?
No.
Okay, the other two funds that are within the what's called governmental funds category are Beach Protection Fund and the Federal Asset Forfeiture Fund. So as we all know, beach protection is, you know, for beach-related expenditures, was established, you know, about 6 years ago at this point, like 2014. So the main revenue source for this is usually a transfer from the general fund. So for this current fiscal year, it was a transfer of $5,000, which was, you know, less than prior years, but it's still in addition to the funds. So that's a good thing. The balance of $693 is investment earnings for this fund. This fund is pretty much, you know, 100% invested in something. There's not much of a need to keep any cash on hand, so it's minimal cash. The rest is all invested. Federal Asset Forfeiture is kind of it's a fund under the direction of the police chief, actually. It's related to funds that we received for the town's participation in federal cases. I guess things would be the FBI and Secret Service, and I'm not sure who else, but and it's kind of it's not necessarily a steady revenue source that comes in here. You know, I think the last month we got were maybe 2018, And then again, it's used at the direction of the police chief, and it just can't be used for normal operating expenses. So it's kind of under like some out of the ordinary expenditures that need to be made. This just shows the fund balance for the beach protection fund, and again shows the steady increase that we've done. So it's a good thing. It can be used for anything beach related, whether it be we needed to contribute to beach nourishment costs, or if we needed to do a repair on a beach access. The way we described this fund, it could be used for any of those things. So we've definitely seen steady growth in this fund, which again is a very good thing.
Well, it's a good fund to have. What's the FEMA response rate right now, about a year?
It's definitely slowed down a bit with everything going on. So it's, we actually got, and we'll have some of this later too, like where we stand with different reimbursements.
Okay.
Some of them were doing very well. The last one, ECES, is definitely lagging behind in getting things done and getting potential reimbursement. So, because there's also projects out there, there's a disaster for COVID-19, for example, too. So I think a lot of FEMA resources are extremely stretched at this point.
Mm-hmm. Just so the people understand that this definitely helps us respond immediately and then recover our costs.
Right, and that's impacting why I also say always like that we have fund balance there if we need it, because, again, we can't count on getting reimbursed for expenditures that, in a prompt manner.
I mean, that's not going to fund beach nourishment. That's not what it's for. It's for emergency operations relative to the beach and hurricanes.
Right, well, it's also so you can tell people that we are putting some money away, but showing that we can't afford to pay for it by ourselves.
Right.
If you have to talk to state or federal people about stormwater damage projects.
Right.
This helps Layton out as well. All three beach towns are doing something like this, I think, at this point.
Anybody have any other questions on beach protection?
Nope.
And then I just show the kind of the fund balance for the federal asset forfeiture. And right now it's still at about, there hasn't been any expenditure so far in this current fiscal year, so that fund balance is a little over $89,000.
Any current opportunities here, Chief, to grow that, or is that a secret?
No, there is. There are some funds that are supposed to be in.
Okay.
But it takes several years, and we've been waiting 2 years for one case.
So okay.
They told me that, and Arlen Hayes here, the check's in the mail. You can ask him, it takes forever for the money to come in.
Like Mike said, it can be years. Sometimes when it's first like, okay, we should get these funds, it could be 2 years later, and we're still like, well, we should get these funds. Just don't know.
Right.
Okay.
Any questions on asset forfeiture fund?
Nope. Now, gentlemen, I've got a question for you. You want a break here and have lunch? Is lunch ready, Mandy?
Lunch will be ready at 12:15.
We'll just go for 10 more minutes and 5 minutes for one more.
Okay. Then let's go ahead and
continue on.
We'll keep moving.
Okay, this is the highlights of the storm. Water and Sewer Fund as of December 31st. Again, there's nothing out of the ordinary. We're just looking at the summary, typically, of where we would be with the percentage of revenue and also expenses. There were two budget amendments. One is a fairly small one, a little over $1,000 for the extra COVID for town hall cleaning, which was just the allocation of the total amount to Water and Sewer. The bigger one, a little over $76,000, had to do with the water meter project and the fact that we did not use the total loan amount that we received. So funds were transferred from the capital project fund back to Water and Sewer Fund to actually start to pay down the debt. So it had to be done as a budget amendment. So it's the true impact on the on the fund is zero, actually. It was more just an accounting transaction. So
when we get recoveries from Carolina Beach, they go back into this fund?
Yes.
Okay.
And if we have to pay them, they go out of this fund?
Correct.
I think with the cycle this year, it's hard to say which way it'll go.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had a amount due us, which, but yes, as David's saying, it's kind of seems like every year it goes, you know, we'll get a refund 1 year, but then we'll owe extra the next year.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's okay.
I mean, we overshoot it. It's gotten a lot better, so I would not expect us to receive or pay huge dollars like we did 4 or 5 years ago. It should be in the 30,000, give or take a little bit, thing. And that's really just because they don't know, right? So that we bill based off the budget and then actual costs come in. It's a huge amount, so it's a small percentage. They're getting much better.
Right.
And I think the sewer authority, which Commissioner Whitley's on with me, is getting a much, much better at making sure we're all better. So
yeah, we get a lot better information and with good, you know, explanations of, you know, what's happening. So it's,
and Arlen did, Jimmy do a good job of making sure before we get to that meeting that we understand what's going on the operational side and on the cost side.
All right.
And there was actually a few meters changed out this year, so it should be a lot more accurate than what it has been.
All right, so what I've also shown here then is the significant revenue sources for water and sewer, you know, through December 31st. And water and sewer, you know, again, both more than 50%. That's a normal thing because January, February, and March will be like our lower months of the year. So the fact that we're a little bit ahead is a good thing. We're going to have to, you know, watch where we are when we start the budget process in regard to amount of revenue. Tap and connection fees primarily relate to building activity. Other financing is loans, and again, the reason that's much lower than budget at this point is it could be the other half of that back truck that we spoke about earlier. Anybody have any questions on that? I'll just move to this, like what I did with the other funds. It's like, well, where are we for the 6 month period ending December 31st for the last, for this year and the prior year? So you see that both water and sewer were running a little, you know, ahead, and that's primarily, I think it's, we've had a lot more people here maybe this season, and also we had a rate increase, so that's driving those increases for those two.
Jimmy, so I agree. I think we have had a lot more people. Jimmy, can you gather for us, and not right now, but just send it to council, the usage by month for the last 2 years?
Usage by month?
Yeah. I know it's in your, Robin can easily get it. It's in your monthly report, but I just think looking at that together would show what you were saying, because I'm not sure I agree the water usage is the same or not.
I noticed that it was 3.9 million gallons last month, which kind of surprised me.
And Jimmy, I have something that I, it's all.
You already do it that way? Maybe it's easier for Arlen. Whoever's better, you guys work it out.
Yeah, I can give you something that shows like number of accounts and number of gallons by month.
Yeah.
And broken down by residential, commercial.
Because last year you were pretty concerned at the way we did attack the rate issue, because you said that's diminishing returns strategy. Because we're attacking the high end.
Right.
Yeah. And so if that's really an issue, we need to understand it, especially when we're dealing with budget.
And those dynamics would be good to see, because we know that, like, the aquarium pays a different rate, and they've been down.
Sure, well.
And so, I mean, if you can break it by account and gallons by account, that'd be great.
Yeah, I have it by those three different categories, residential, commercial, and then Fort Fisher.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Because I bet businesses are down too without people eating in. They're going to go plates instead of washing dishes. I know that's a fact. And the aquarium was down. And I think the Fort Fisher Air Force Base was down as well. Mm-hmm.
And I like your idea to look at it like maybe over the last 3 years, because as we worry about water usage, right, that'd be good to see if it's growing tremendously or not. I know our friends at Carolina Beach are using a lot of water.
So you wanted the bi-month for the last 2 years?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Jimmy, he's got it, sounds like. Will, if you're back and listen to that last part, clue what Craig said.
So anybody have any questions on that in comparison to the same 6 months for last year? And this is, again, we're actually doing better or at least equal to what we were a year ago. And again, there were concerns, you know, would people be able to be paying their bills or whatever for water and sewer. And we haven't seen a significant increase in non-payments.
So speaking of that, for the accounts that set up payment plans, were they concerned they'd be able to make those, or you think they're okay? I don't want to spend people's water off in the pandemic.
They're okay, but we did go back to the, I think I spoke with council, you know, after the executive orders expired, we followed all the guidance with all of that, and we have started again to disconnect people for non-payment. It can't relate to the time period that the executive order was in place. But now we've had ones that, again, nothing out of the ordinary or whatever, but that have would stop paying. And it's a lot of times it's the same accounts that'll let it go, get cut off, then fully pay, then let it go again. So we have some of those that it just follows a pattern.
How many are there, just for interest? And do we refer them to? To help health services at all?
No. I mean, once they're cut, I mean, again, the thing is they get cut off, they immediately,
Right, so it's more they're lazy about paying. I understand, and I don't know how to attack this issue. It just concerns me that, especially right now, we should be telling people, these are the health services you should go to do. The town can't do this unless you go through the processes to get help, but I don't want us just cutting people off and then when they may not know, right? So the people that get cut off are the people that don't know stuff anyway, it seems like, at least in my estimation, and I want to make sure we're directing people to help services as well, right, as part of our process.
And a lot of the ones that are cut off are not primary residents.
Then that I'm okay with. If it's secondary residence, that's fine, right?
I'm not saying all of
them. Even more if it's rentals, I'm totally okay. But I'm just talking about the renter or homeowner that's living in the home as a primary residence. I want to make sure we're directing them to help, right? There are lots of services in the county, and I think council would want to know if there was someone like that town staff doing exactly what they should do, follow the rules. But I think council would want to know about that. At least I would. I can't speak for the rest of the council.
Okay. All right, so this slide shows the water and sewer fund revenue over the last 5 years. Again, the water and sewer charges, you primarily see the impact of rate actions that council took. There was 1 year, 2018, where the water consumption was down. I think that was, we had a lot
the monsoon year?
That was
the year. 29 inches in one weekend?
So consumption was, down significantly, so the revenue was down accordingly. Other category, I mean, some of the larger amounts were, again, when we received reimbursements from FEMA for expenses that were incurred for hurricanes within the water and sewer fund. So any questions that anyone has on the water and sewer fund revenue history?
Nope.
So it's water and sewer fund expenses through December 31st in relation to the budget. Again, nothing really out of the ordinary here. Everybody's kind of where they should be for the halfway point. And this shows the five-year history of expenses. Yeah, nothing out of the ordinary. Operations, you know, maybe up fairly significantly in 2017. I think there was that's when the sludge removal from the lagoon occurred, I believe. So that was drove the.
Was that the lift station crossover too?
Well,
2017, when we made the lift station crossover and upgrade on H Avenue? Was that in 2017, Jim?
I think it was.
Yeah. Well, some of those years.
Oh, because they're capital, so they don't show up the same way?
Yeah, I mean, in this fund, capital shows up a little bit differently. So.
Okay, that's fine.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Yeah, in 17 was really primarily sludge removal, like $175,000.
Right.
Yeah. So, anybody have any questions on expense history for the water and sewer fund? So, this shows the it's similar to fund balance, but for an enterprise fund that's called net position. And what I wanted to show first was just the two categories that we have that comprises net position. So the orange is what's invested in capital assets, all our equipment, infrastructure, all of that. Basically, you cannot spend this. I mean, it's capital assets, so non-spendable. The blue section is the what's considered unrestricted. So in a way, that's your cash, if you want to look at it that way, in the fund that's available to spend. Definitely, you would not want to spend all of that money, or actually anywhere close. That's kind of your emergency fund in a way. Again, we talked about hurricanes, something happens, you need to replace sewer lines, water lines, you know.
Water tower,
any of that. This could be where some of the funding would come initially, waiting for hopefully reimbursements from, you know, FEMA or somewhere else. But you do see it fluctuates a little bit with like the invested in capital assets. You know, some years it's down. That's because if we don't have any significant capital additions, it's the impact of depreciation. So your actual amount, your net amount invested in capital assets would decrease. You do see when we have some, you know, more significant increases in capital expenditures, like between 2017 and 18. We had the lift station by the Public Works building. For 18 to 19, it was actually a portion of the town hall renovation that was contributed, added to the water and sewer fund. So that was really significant that you would change there. Other than that, and the year it decreases is really just the depreciation exceeds the amount of new capital expenditures.
Is there a healthy ratio that we should be looking at here? Because I see we're usually 25%, between 25-35%. I mean, is that healthy as a ratio to your assets?
Yeah, I think we're in a normal range.
Okay.
Again, you could look at it the way we look at a general fund too. It's like, you know, what is town council comfortable with as a basically a reserve fund, emergency
okay.
fund, a building of reserves for future capital projects. I mean, I think that's that blue category. That's what we need to be concerned about, need to monitor or whatever. You know, what level do we want to have as your unrestricted?
So that range is a reasonable range.
Right.
Okay.
So I think if you were to look at small towns across North Carolina, we're probably in the top 10%. But if you were then to look, break that up to beach towns that actually run a sewer system like we do because of the lagoon, we're probably right in the middle.
Right.
Because there's very few that do both of those things, right? So one, beach towns, you dropped it way down. And then of those beach towns, some of them, 100% of their sewer goes to a regional authority versus how we do it, where about 65% of our sewage goes to the regional system in Carolina Beach,
yeah.
And about 35%, give or take some, goes to the lagoon on H Avenue.
Yeah.
So that's, that's the issue. It's a hard comparison. That's why I break it down that way so council will understand why we think it's the right strategy. I think Arlen's doing a great job of leading this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is. I sometimes think about if we have a 40-year-old system or a 60-year-old system, should you be more concerned? Obviously, I think you should be, right? Because you're going to have more probably unplanned expense. I mean, if you're a new town, you probably don't need a whole lot in this area because you've invested it.
Right, and that's why I think as we go through the budget process like we do every year, it's looking at, you know, what do we see as our next, you know, capital expenditures, and also, again, trying to anticipate, you know, for example, we just replaced all the water meters at, you know, about, you know, 1.2 million, give or take a little bit. You know, how long are they going to last, you know, and should we be, in essence, starting to reserve some money for the next time they have to be replaced? I mean, that's the way we have to look at things, so that every time we have a capital expenditure to make, that we don't have to go out and borrow, you know, 100% of the funds to do the project.
Right.
We should be building that blue category so that we have at least a portion of the project can be paid from reserves.
And that goes back to what Jimmy and I were talking about with the sewer systems on 4th and 5th Avenue south of K. If we do a big project this year, Arlen will then lead us through how much of it do we take out of here versus we finance.
Yeah.
So that would be the discussion, right? And that's why we do build it up for a big project like that.
I mean, I'm not looking for make work, but I mean, I don't know if we know how much unplanned expense we have. Because I know you get nailed in your budget for, okay, here's an unplanned expense of $100,000 or whatever. I don't know if we have an idea of what the unplanned expense has been over the last few years. And I'm not looking for make work, but.
Well, so we can look at the budget amendments in the water and sewer fund. That's
actually, you're right. The budget amendments
so
would tell us
that.
That's right.
We can pull it.
That's right.
But some of it even doesn't show up. I mean, if there's like things like a water main break, this, you know, it's typically absorbed within the operating budget that we have. So.
Right. The operating budget has a contingency for a certain amount of maintenance.
Right.
And then the public works director has to spend that properly to service the town. But if there was something like Craig was talking about, it should be in a budget of normal maintenance, right? So Jimmy doesn't know which line is going to break next year, but he knows about how much he needs for some line somewhere. And so that's in the normal budget. It's outside of that or higher than that, then it becomes budget amendment. So we could look at the budget amendments to answer your question.
Yeah, that's actually a good good thought.
That's simple to do.
Yeah, okay.
If you guys want a break here, your lunch is ready.
Perfect.
We have one more chart, I think. One more chart.
Water, sewer, and then, which is really just, again, the same net position, but just to show the increase and decrease by year. So the others show the kind of the classifications of that net position. This just shows that for the majority of the time, we've actually increased our net position, which is good. For 2018, it was actually an accounting rule change that had to do with our what's called other post-retirement benefits, but really being retiree medical, which since then council has taken actions to change, you know, the approach to that. But because of that accounting rule change, we actually had a decrease in our net position for 2018. But other than that, But I think what this shows is that maybe it wasn't clear, you know, how much are we increasing that net position? And it's, you know, it's a little bit each year, nothing like significant like some of the increases we had in the general fund, but there is, you know, typically some positive growth, so.
Okay. You know, you get a couple percent of a couple million, that's still something.
Right.
Right, so, I mean, the numbers aren't. Numbers aren't bad in the bottom here.
Right, it's definitely the direction we want to go. I mean,
yes.
We don't want to see the decreases, especially in this fund balance. So.
Right. Okay.
Make a motion for a break for lunch.
Okay.
What time is that?
Let's start again at 1. That gives us 35 or 40 minutes to eat and make phone calls.
Okay.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.